up. I know you guys want to celebrate this, and you don't want to hear me talk, but there's something special about this team now.
Yes, sir.
There's something
yes,
special.
Sir.
Yes, sir. It's building. Something remarkable going on here, okay?
Yes,
secondly, Vic said it. You're going to hear it a lot. That's the best defensive performance I have ever seen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes. Guys, that took a lot of heart. That took a lot of character. But that was one great defensive performance. Everybody had a great team performance. Offense, special teams, everybody. Clutch! Clutch! Did not do it. All right, guys. Who's got it better than us?
Nobody!
It's made of a slice of heaven and everything else that's sweet.
With your host, Brian Sanchez.
I'm kind of a big deal. People know me.
Where we cover nothing but sports.
Garants, and that's guaranteed. That's what that means right there, because they're sweet. That's called you're welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Like a sound you hear that lingers in your ear, but you can't forget from sundown to sunset. Nah. It's all in the air, you hear it everywhere. What you do, it's gonna grab a hold on you. California soul.
That's right, people. It's that time of the week. It's time for the Sports Report. I am your humble host, Brian Sanchez. This is radio.dominican.edu, and I am so ready to get this show going. I'll tell you what, I'm not one to complain a whole lot, but an hour a week just ain't cutting it, because I can't stand finishing my show on Tuesday and having to wait all the way till next Tuesday to get going again. So I am very excited to be here with you tonight. We're gonna start off with the headlines like we do every week, and then we're gonna get into the Sports Report Top 10. Then we're gonna have Gotheim, which is becoming a very popular segment on the show. And then at the end of the show, we're going to shut it down like we do every week with a little Rep the Bay, DJ P-Yob and DJ T-Baby in the house. That's how we like to close. We like to finish strong. I want to remind everybody to check out the Facebook page for the Sports Report. You can go to www.facebook.com/Brian Sanchez Sports. We're going strong on the Facebook page. 112 people have liked it so far. It's huge. I don't want to speculate, but I'm pretty sure it's the Facebook page for a show with the most Facebook likes that there is. I know that the Tailgate is probably the most listened to show that we have here at Dominican, and they don't have 112 likes. I know that What's the Tea with Nikki P is one of the most listened to shows here at Dominican, and they're not even in the 100 likes, neither of those two shows. So the fact that we're up at 112 is strong. And for those of you listening that are on it, you're probably doing the polls, and I appreciate that. And there are plenty of people who don't even like the show that aren't even friends with me on Facebook that do polls. People I don't even know. The polls are getting around. What happens is I put up a Facebook question, give you some options, and people start voting. We've had some ones with big turnouts, and it's very exciting. It's really getting interactive on the show. If you're listening now and you have something to say, don't be afraid to go on Facebook and post something. Or if you have my number, just shoot me a text message. If it's worth a shout out, I'll read it on the air. If you disagree with something I'm saying, let it know, and we'll just get a little discussion going. So it's about that time to head into the headlines. You may think I might start off with a 49ers headline, but I'm not going to. You heard the lead into the show was a Jim Harbaugh pep talk, because who doesn't want to listen to a Jim Harbaugh talk? But unfortunately, we have bigger news, and it comes from the NBA, and the NBA stands for No Basketball Allowed. There is very low probability of there being an NBA season. And all games through December 15th have been canceled now. And it seems kind of pointless to do that because it's going to be the whole season. So you might as well just go ahead and do that. But anyways, no basketball through December 15th. And recently, the last offer from the owners where they said either you take this 50-50 revenue split or we're going to back it off to 53-47 in our favor and you guys are left out in the cold. The players saw it as an ultimatum and they were upset that they were being given an ultimatum at this point. And the owner's argument was, we've been trying to work out a deal for 2.5 years. It's not an ultimatum as much as it's a get your act together. Let's go. Let's get a season going. But the players declined, and now it looks like they're going to decertify as a union exactly like the NFL did, and they're going to file antitrust lawsuits against the NBA. And unfortunately, this plan would have worked if it were, say, 4 months ago. The problem is they're looking at it and seeing the NFL did it, and it led up to a new CBA. And I do think this will lead to a new CBA. Obviously, I don't think there's never going to be basketball again, so there's going to be a new CBA. But they're doing it way too late, and it's 100% on the players, and they are the reason there's no NBA. They're both greedy, so you can't just say it's owner's greed that's holding it back because the players are just as greedy. Everyone involved is greedy. What's happening is they're going to decertify. It's going to go through months of litigation, and finally the players and the owners will decide on something that will actually be fair for what's being negotiated in court and settle on the new CBA. That's what the NFL did, but the NFL did it. They started it 3 months before the season was going to happen. They didn't start it a month after the season was going to happen. That's what the NBA did. They're already missing games, and now they decided to decertify, effectively ending the season. If they would have been on top of things, if Billy Hunter would have had his act together and been able to see what everyone else saw, that the two sides were not going to be able to agree without going to court, then they could have started this process as soon as the Mavericks won the championship, and we could have been in the middle of season right now. We could have been cheering on our teams. We could have been seeing basketball. We would have had great Christmas Day basketball to look forward to, but now there's nothing. And I'm putting it all on Billy Hunter. He needs to have better foresight than he did, and I don't like the way he handled it. So we're going to move on from that, and just because the NBA's going away doesn't mean all sports are, and just because the MLB is in the offseason doesn't mean it's not in the news because it's starting to get hot stove time and teams are starting to sign free agents. Also, I'd like to add a little note that the MLB is about a week away from getting their new CBA that expired a couple weeks ago. So baseball, thank you for having your act together. Thank you for not even going to have any of this that NFL and NBA had. By next week, there'll be a new CBA. No one will ever dream of a locked out MLB. That is why baseball is king. But we got a list of MLB signings here, a lot of interesting ones. These are the free agents that have signed so far. I'm going to start and go from least relevant to most relevant. Matt Traynor, the backup catcher, has been signed by the Dodgers. 1 year, $850,000. Mark Kotze, the old-time outfielder first baseman for Sandy, has been signed by San Diego for 1 year and $1.25 million. John McDonald, the utility infielder, has been signed by the Arizona Diamondbacks. 2 years, $3 million. Chin-Ming Wong, the Taipei pitcher, has been signed by 1 year for the Washington Nationals. Willie Bloomquist, all-around utility player who filled in nicely for Stephen Drew last year in Arizona, has been re-signed by Arizona. 2 years, $3.8 million. Rod Barajas, former Dodgers catcher, is going to Pittsburgh on a one-year, $4 million deal. Juan Rivera, former Angels outfielder, got traded to the Dodgers, is staying with the Dodgers for at least one more year as he signs a $4 million contract. Jamie Carroll, Dodgers utility man, really useful guy, gets on base a lot, can play anywhere in the infield, goes to the Minnesota Twins. He seems like the perfect Twins player, good at bats, moves runners over, plays solid defense. 2 years, $6.75 million for Jamie Carroll. Mark Ellis, former A's second baseman, great defensive player, decent with the bat, goes to the Dodgers for 2 years, $8.75 million. Jim Thomae, some thought he was going to retire. He's going to return to the Philadelphia Phillies to get his shot at his first World Series title. He's going to have 1 year, $1.25 million, to be the number one pinch hitter off the bench for the Phillies. Aaron Hill, the second baseman for the Blue Jays, broke out 3 seasons ago, nothing much. since then is staying in Arizona, where he was traded to. 2 years, $11 million is the deal he signed. Now you get to the two big ones that have happened. Jonathan Papelbon, former Red Sox closer, had a good year, then a down year, has gone to the Philadelphia Phillies for 4 years, $50 million. That's a lot of money for someone who's not doing what they used to do. That's a very optimistic signing. You're not sure what you're going to get from him. And what this effectively does is release Ryan Madison from the Phillies. He'll be going somewhere else. A lot of people were surprised that the Phillies didn't put this money into keeping Madsen, who's already comfortable with the team. But they believe in Papelbon. They like his mentality. They like his toughness in the playoffs, and that's who they're going to go with. And then the big boy, Matt Kemp, L.A. Dodgers outfielder, signed for 8 years, $160 million. And it surprised some people because all they hear about is Dodgers bankrupt, changing owners because they have no money. So naturally, you would think, how can you afford to sign somebody? Well, what they're doing is they're signing Kemp long-term, $20 million a year, and it makes the Dodgers more attractive as a team to buy for an owner. Because one of the problems was, we don't want to own the team if the best player, the likely NL MVP, is going to be gone. But now that he's going to be there for 8 years, owners say, okay, we got a building block between him and Kershaw, so now we can go ahead and buy him. Also, the Dodgers, the rest of their roster, they only have $70 million committed to the rest of their roster for the rest of the lifetime of their contracts. You compare that to the Yankees have $150 million left of guaranteed money to pay to Alex Rodriguez alone. Alex Rodriguez alone is still going to make $150 million guaranteed from the Yankees. All the Dodger players combined are going to make $70 million combined. That's why the Dodgers could afford to do it. That's why MLB let the Dodgers throw around that money, because it's going to make them more attractive to buy. I think it's a great move by him. He's an absolute beast. He can hit. He can defend. He can run. He can throw, steal a base, drop a bomb, hit a double. He'll do it all. If he's not the NL MVP, I think it's going to be tough to debate someone else. You can go Braun or Fielder because they took their team to the playoffs, but the year Matt Kemp had made him the most valuable player in baseball. He may not have got his team to win, and usually I would pick the winning player in an MVP debate, but his numbers are ridiculous, and I think he's going to get it. And that's it for the headlines today. After the headlines, we're going to get into the Sports Report Top 10, and it's a good one today. You're not going to want to miss it, so come on back after the break. We're going to have the Sports Report Top 10 for you. I'm Brian Sanchez. You, of course, are listening to the Sports Report on radio.dominican.edu.
Welcome to the jungle!
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. This is the Sports Report. I'm your host, Brian Sanchez, coming to you live from radio.dominican.edu. It's time to get into the Sports Report Top 10. The Sports Report Top 10 are the top 10 stories that I want to cover at the time. We hit all the major ones. This show is nothing but sports, anything and everything going on in the sports world. It's time to get into it now. But first, I mentioned Facebook earlier. I mentioned that we had a big following at 112 followers and that we were probably, I have to check all the other ones, but we're most likely the most followed show on Facebook on radio.dominican.edu. I know the two most listened to shows have less followers than us, and we got number 113 now. We just went from 112 to 113. We had Francisco. Francisco, I talked to earlier today. I was on What's the Tea with Nikki P for about, hour and a half. And he called in, so I talked to him, and he's gone ahead and followed the show now. He liked it on Facebook, so that's great. That's I love to hear that kind of stuff. But now we're going to get into the top 10. And I'm going to start the top 10. Number one, it's what we're going to be doing every week from now on. I'm going to go over the Facebook polls. I'm going to go over the results for all the poll questions I asked during the past week. And here's number one. This was after the Eagles lost two games ago. This was before the Eagles lost this time. I asked, will the 3-5 Dream Team Eagles still make the playoffs? Overwhelmingly, the answer was no. It was over 80% no, which is very surprising because 3-5 is not 0-8. You can still come back from that. Now, since then, they've lost again, so the chances are probably lower, but people very critical of the Eagles. Next question was, should Joe Paterno be allowed to finish the season as head coach at Penn State? This obviously was before he was fired. And this was one of the bigger poll questions as far as number of votes go. I had a lot of people vote on this one. Word kind of got around and people saw it on people's Facebook pages and tuned in to vote. The vote went for no. He should not be allowed to finish the season, and the no's took it, and the no's were right because he wasn't allowed to finish the season. That one was close. It wasn't that far. It was just over 60% no. And that's the one who won, and they ended up winning in real life because Joe Paterno's let go. We're going to get into that a little bit. I'm just going to briefly touch on that a little later because he's also gone from something else. Then I asked, who will win Saturday, Stanford or Oregon? This was an interesting one. It was a landslide win for Stanford on the poll question. The people voted Stanford. That was their pick. Didn't exactly happen. We'll get into that later too. Then I asked, the 6-2 Giants are taking on the 7-1 49ers. Make your pick. This was another good one. This one got a decent number of votes and looks like it was about 72%. Went San Francisco 49ers over the New York Giants. Way to go, guys. You called that game. We're going to get into that later when P-Ob and T-Baby are in the building. Next poll question, and the final poll question for now. This was posted Sunday after the 49ers beat the Giants, as people predicted on the poll questions. Are the 49ers now the real deal? This one got a good number of votes, too. The options were yes, no, or still unsure. And by a landslide, by about 90%, people are saying that, yes, the 49ers are the real deal. And if you ask ESPN analysts and Yahoo analysts, they're going to agree too. And again, we'll get into that later in the show when P-Ob and T-Baby are in the building because that's when we are going to rep the Bay. So that's number one on the top 10, the poll results. If you want to make sure the results sway in your direction, go to facebook.com/Brian Sanchez Sports and make sure you vote on the polls. There are going to be poll questions all the time, so keep checking in and let me know what you think. Also, I want people to make sure you know when you vote, if you have a comment, please leave it either on the poll question itself or on the page. I want to know why people are voting what they're voting. I just don't want to know what your vote is. So feel free to leave a comment. I always want to read what other people have to say because I like to argue, and that's what I'm going to do if you don't agree with me. Now we're moving on to number two. Number two, we've had baseball awards announced. We've had three of them. The NL Rookie of the Year is Craig Kimbrel. Hey, if I could talk, it would be a lot easier. Craig Kimbrell had 46 saves for the Atlanta Braves. He had a 2.1 ERA and 127 strikeouts, just a massive number for a closer. He gets the NL Rookie of the Year. That was in a landslide. No one really stepped up to the plate and argued for him, against him. The AL Rookie of the Year is Jeremy Hellickson, starter, Tampa Bay Rays. When I was on the tailgate a couple weeks ago, I predicted Jeremy Hellickson, and I was correct. For the Tampa Bay Rays, who made that stunning comeback late in September, he had 13 wins, a 2.95 ERA, and 117 strikeouts. So first of all, note that about Kimbrell. The closer got more strikeouts than the starting pitcher, and Hellickson made about 25 starts. So that tells you the impressive numbers for the closer, Kimbrell, as far as strikeouts. And then if you add the two strikeouts together, that's 244 between the two rookies of the year. And that's less than 250 strikeouts. And that's what the AL Cy Young winner, Justin Verlander, had. He had 250 strikeouts this last year. He also had 24 wins. He went 24-5 on the season and had a 2.4 ERA. It was a unanimous vote for Justin Verlander. I don't see why it wouldn't be. He was a dominant force this year. Landslide winner, AL Cy Young. Congratulations to those three guys. Next week, we'll talk about the rest of the awards that will be announced as this week goes on. Now we get to number three. Number three on the top 10 is the Wilson Ramos kidnapping in Venezuela. Scary situation. Venezuelan and Washington's Nationals catcher Wilson Ramos was abducted at gunpoint from outside of his home in Venezuela, and he was missing for 2 days before an army operative team went in and rescued him in the jungle where he was being stored. It was kind of like Call of Duty, and I just bring it up because the new Call of Duty came out, and it's awesome. Anyways, it's a scary thought that that happened to Wilson Ramos, and it raises the question here in the Bay Area. Pablo Sandoval is in Venezuela right now playing in a Venezuelan league. Do you want Pablo Sandoval playing in Venezuela and living in Venezuela right now, knowing that that just happened to another major league player? If you're listening right now, why don't you go ahead and text in or put it on the Facebook page? I want to know what you guys think. I don't really want Pablo there. I don't want to risk him being harmed in his home country just because people are going to try and make money off the fact that he's a pro player. I'm sure you can find somewhere else to play. I know it's your home, but you have enough money. You could bring your family with you. I just don't like the idea of Pablo Sandoval being in Venezuela right now. Now, I may be completely wrong. It may be something that just happened to Wilson Ramos, and the Venezuela is fine and Pablo should be able to go there. The Giants didn't tell him not to go. They told him to be careful. They didn't tell him not to go. I don't know. I think I would have told him not to go in such a strong way that I basically told him not to go. Like, hey, Pablo, I know you want to go back to Venezuela and play in the Winter League there, but the Wilson Ramos situation is very scary, and we would be very upset if that happened to you because we'd be very worried and we'd want to know what happened to you, and I think we'd have a lot more ease of mind if you didn't go. And since we write your paychecks and we're telling you not to go, don't go. But scary situation for Ramos, who was recovered and he's perfectly fine now. Let's hope for the best for Pablo Sandoval. I got a text message here from my dad. My dad, you know, he likes to get points across, but he's a funny guy. And this is what he has to say. He says, "Panda is safe. Who would kidnap a cute panda?" I'll tell you what, I'd kidnap a cute panda. I want Pablo Sandoval on the show. But, you know, you're right. He's probably safe. I'm probably worrying about it too much. But for a team that lacks offense, you can't have one of your best hitters in a situation where he could get kidnapped. That's scary. And I'd rather just avoid that. Moving on, we'll go back to that. If I get more feedback, I'll go back and let people voice their opinions. But for now, we're going to move on. And we're going to move on to number four. Number four on the Sports Report Top 10 is Mike Matheny, former Cardinals and Giants catcher. Mike Matheny is going to be the manager for the Cardinals. A lot of people expected the Cardinals to go Terry Francona, who was recently released as the Red Sox manager. But they went Mike Matheny, and people are excited for him. He's been quoted as the ultimate leader, a great player's manager, and a guy who understands players as well as the game. And I'd have to agree. I think he's going to do a great job. He was a fantastic catcher. Couldn't hit a lick. He probably couldn't have swung his way out of a paper bag, but he could catch and he could throw you out if you ran. It was beautiful to watch. And I think good defensive catchers make good managers. You look at Bochy, you look at Shosha, you look at guys like that. Catchers make good managers. Matheny, a really classy professional guy that players love. I think he's going to do a good job, and I think it was a good hire to bring him back to St. Louis where he played so much of his career. Happy for Mike Matheny and hope he does well. Hope he has Pujols because that makes any manager look great. Moving on, number five on the top 10, Brady and Belichick reach 117 wins. That's 117 wins the two have been together for. That's number one all time. Formerly number one was Don Shula and Dan Marino with 116. They got passed this week by Brady and Belichick. One of the best, if not the best, combos ever as far as wins and Super Bowls go. Two guys, one's brilliant, one's greatness, and it doesn't really shock anybody that those two are up there. What shocked me is I saw the list of the top five, and Walsh wasn't up there. Now, I guess it could be quarterback issues, but I don't know. I thought Walsh and Montana might be up there. But no, they weren't up there. Chuck Knoll, Terry Bradshaw was up there, which is kind of funny because to my generation, we only know Terry Bradshaw as that guy on Fox NFL Sunday. You know, the goofy guy that messes up words a lot. And it's funny to think about him being one of the best quarterbacks. And that maybe that's just me, but it's funny. Moving on, number six. Hard for me to talk about. The Oregon Ducks kicked the crap out of Stanford, and it was ugly. Oregon won 53-30 in what was basically a home game for the Oregon Ducks. I had friends who were there and said they thought they were at a Ducks games because there were so many Oregon Ducks fans. And I am saying, come on, Palo Alto. Come on, that side of the bay. That's my side of the bay over there. That's where I come from. I need you guys to step up and go support this Stanford team. We were going for a national championship. We were going for the Rose Bowl. Now we're going to the Capital One Toilet Bowl or the All-Brand Cereal Bowl because we lost to Oregon. And maybe if it would have felt like a home game, it would have helped. I don't think so because I heard a quote that I loved, and it was, speed beats strength when strength isn't fast. And at first I was like, what does that even mean? But then I thought about it. Oregon is speed. Stanford is strength. Speed beats strength. Last year, Oregon is speed. Auburn is strength. Speed beats strength when strength isn't fast. Stanford's not fast. Stanford loses. Auburn's fast. Auburn wins. If you're strong and fast, you'll beat a fast team. If you're just strong, you won't beat a fast team. That was on display there. And it was just hard because you kind of see a season go to waste there and you see Andrew Luck. He's done now. He's going to go in the draft, and we had a chance to do something big while he was here, and it looks like the Orange Bowl will be the biggest thing that happened. Big prospective year, and it's going to peter out to not be as much as people hoped. And you know what? That's too bad. But now we're moving on to number seven. Number seven is Coach K. Mike Krzyzewski is just tied Bobby Knight the other day at 902 all-time wins. 902 wins is the most all-time, and Bobby Knight is his coach. Bobby Knight coached Mike Krzyzewski in college, which I thought was pretty awesome to see. But tonight, Mike Krzyzewski is going for the lead. 903 would put him number one all-time all alone in wins in college basketball. And as it's stated right now, there's 1 minute left in the second half, and Duke is leading Michigan State 69-60. So for all intents and purposes, Coach K is going to become the most winningest coach of all time during our show, which is awesome. So when that goes down, I'll let you know when Coach K is the winningest coach of all time, because as it stands now, that's going to happen. Also, there's some other good games going on right now. It's 11:54 left in the second half here. Ohio State is leading Florida 51-40. It's early, but Ohio State's third in the country, Florida 7, so there's a top 10 matchup. And tipping off in about 2 minutes, Kentucky is at home taking on Kansas. That's number 2 Kentucky against number 12 Kansas. And I'll tell you what, you want to check out this Kentucky team. Kentucky and Duke and North Carolina are going to be teams to keep tabs on because they have so much talent from players not entering the draft because they saw this lockout coming. Shoot, even college athletes saw the lockout coming and didn't enter the draft. But all those players that were supposed to be one and done stayed. And now you add them to the players that are now one and done players, and you have ridiculous talent on teams. Kentucky, Duke, and North Carolina are the three to watch out. So naturally, neither of those three are going to win the championship, because the best, most talented team almost never wins a championship. So you can count them out as far as I'm concerned. Moving on now to number 8. Is there a change coming in the BCS? You know, there just might be, because the BCS sees all this conference realignment and everything getting messed up as far as conferences go. And people and the BCS worries it's because of them. Hey, guess what, numbskulls? It is because of you. Because you guys make this arbitrary point system based on what conference you're in, and you guys pick who you want your championship to be no matter what. And so people are realigning their conferences to make sure their conference is the strongest. So if you win, you automatically get in the championship, whether you deserve it or not, whether you're actually better than a good team in a weaker conference. That's what's been happening to Boise for so many years until they lost to TCU this past weekend. But that's been their problem. And now the BCS is talking about change. Now, is the change going to be the playoff that everybody wants? I still think that would be the most monster TV ratings in history if you got college football playoffs. If you had maybe 10 teams duke it out in a college basketball tournament style playoff where each week you're playing the winner of the last week. It would be monster, and then teams would get to legitimately say they're the champion. We went through the tournament and we won. If you were better than us, you would have either beat us or met us in the championship, but you didn't, so we're the best. Not, we were picked to play this other team, so maybe the third place team is the best. Just get the dang playoff going already. I know what everybody says about money and TV networking and stuff. Figure it all out, because it would be epic. But you do need to change, because it is your fault that all these conferences are being changed. And the BCS is just a mess. They're the biggest crooks ever. And that's all I have to say about them. Number 9 on the top 10, the Manny Pacquiao and Antonio Marquez fight was this weekend. And Pacquiao won in 12 rounds on a decision. It was a controversial decision. Some people would have picked Marquez, but Pacquiao got the win. And some people raised the question, did Pacquiao go all 12 rounds and make it close and almost lose to make Mayweather think it's time to fight him? I don't think so. I don't think he has that much control. I don't think he would risk losing over it. But it's an interesting thought that if he went out and just ran through Marquez, Mayweather would be like, forget that, man. I'm not going to fight him. But when he goes out there and he sees, you know, he's the senator in the Philippines now. He's got to take all these breaks from training. He barely beat Marquez. Maybe I could go in there and beat him. People would still take Pacquiao, I believe. But maybe I could go beat him. But you don't have to worry about that. That fight's never, ever, ever going to happen. I'm sick of people talking about it. And I'm sick of people putting it on one person. The whole thing is messed up. The drug testing thing, requesting the drug testing is wrong. And saying you won't do it before, or saying he has to do it before the fight is wrong. There are not going to be any performance-enhancing drugs that are in your system 5 minutes before the fight that won't be there 5 minutes after the fight. If you do the blood testing right after the fight, if he's been taking steroids for a year, they're still going to be there. So the whole thing's ridiculous. They're never going to meet, and it's too bad because it would really put boxing on the map, because there's nothing else that can happen to put boxing on the map. There's no heavyweights worth paying pay-per-view for. So that's unfortunate, but boxing just has to deal with that. Now, get to number 10, and number 10 is going to be our recap of the NFL, the past week in the NFL. Here we go. Last Thursday, Oakland wins a big division matchup against the San Diego Chargers 24-17. Rookie Denarius Moore had 123 yards and 2 touchdowns. Now we get to the Sunday slate of games. Jacksonville keeps the Indianapolis Andrew Luck defeated. Completely defeated. They have no wins still. Jacksonville won 17-3. Maurice Jones-Drew went for 114 yards and a touchdown. New Orleans edges out Atlanta in overtime, 26-23, behind Drew Brees and his 322 passing yards and 2 touchdowns. Houston throttles Tampa Bay 37-9, but lose Schaub for the season, and they're going to be in trouble because Leinart is now the quarterback, and you don't win games when Matt Leinart plays. The Steelers beat the Bengals 24-17. Rashard Mendenhall only goes for 44 yards, but he punches in two touchdowns, effectively killing my fantasy team. Good work, Rashard. Tennessee whoops Carolina 30-3. Chris Johnson goes for 130 yards and a touchdown. The Arizona Cardinals beat the Dream Team Eagles 21-17. John Skelton, filling in for the injured Kevin Cobb, went for 315 yards and three touchdowns as Arizona prepares for the San Francisco 49ers this weekend. The Denver Tebows beat Kansas City 17-10. Tebow only went 2 of 8 for 69 yards and a touchdown. People got down on him. It's not his fault he threw for 69 yards. He got 8 pass opportunities. 3 of them got dropped, so that's 2 of 5. And 2 of 5 for 69 yards isn't that bad, especially when you have a touchdown. So everybody relax. The jerseys with Jesus and Tebow's number are a bit much. I think that's awful. But he's doing fine. He's winning games. That's what Tebow does. The Dallas Cowboys kill the Buffalo Bills 44-7 as Tony Romo goes 23 for 26 and 270 yards and 3 touchdowns. Incredible day there from Tony Romo. The Rams beat the Browns 13-12. The newly acquired and former 49er Brandon Lloyd goes for 48 yards and a touchdown. The Dolphins win again. They beat Washington 20-9, effectively taking the Dolphins out of the suck for luck competition, which seems to be over for the Colts, as the Colts have no wins and the next lowest team is a couple teams at 2. But in that game, Reggie Bush had 47 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns. Seattle Seahawks, Pete Carroll stun the other Harbaugh and the Baltimore Ravens 22-17. Now, the problem in that game is that Joe Flacco threw 52 passes and Ray Rice only ran 5 times. Is there a problem with that? Yeah, there's a huge problem with that. That's not how it should be. San Francisco 49ers, Jim freaking Harbaugh, established dominance over the New York Giants in a 27-20 win. Not going to get into that now. I'm going to get into it when P-Ob and T-Baby are here. Chicago beats up Detroit 37-13 as Matt Forte goes for 64 yards and a touchdown. The New England Patriots throttle the Jets 37-16. Tom Brady goes for 329 and 3 touchdowns as him and Belichick take over the lead for most wins as a duo. And finally, on Monday night, a disgusting Monday night game, the Green Bay Packers do what the Green Bay Packers do, and that's whoop Minnesota 45-7. Aaron Rodgers goes for 250 yards and 4 touchdowns. The Packers are ridiculously good, and it scares me when people are drawing comparisons between the Packers and the Niners, but we'll get into that later. And there it is, folks. Mike Krzyzewski passes Bob Knight for most wins in men's Division I history as Duke defeats Michigan State. Congratulations to Coach K, one of the best to ever do it. And now he's got the most wins of anyone who's ever done it. That's going to do it for this segment. And what a way to end that. I like ending it with a little bit of history there. But when we come back, we're going to have Gottheim, and Gottheim's going to be the bridge to rep the Bay. So after the break, I'll be back with Gottheim.
I want to get away. talk about this new term, this new battle cry that's going to be worldwide. It's called Got Him. Got Him, little accent at the end. Sorry, Papa's feeling pretty delicious right now. Got Him. Or when you talk trash to someone. Got Him. You can afflict your tone any way you want. Got Him. Gosh, it's such a gorgeous friggin' term. People are going to jump on it. I know it. You're welcome.
That's right, you heard it, folks. It's time for Got Him, where we talk about who got in the world of sports. And if you tuned in to listen to Brian Sanchez, don't you worry, we got him.
You can't tell me nothing. Let up the suicide doors. This is my life, homie. You decide yours.
Brian Sanchez back here with you in studio in beautiful San Rafael, California, on the majestic campus of Dominican University, live on radio.dominican.edu. It is the Sports Report. Woo, I'm pumped up, baby. It's time for Got Him. You know this is my favorite because Brian Wilson's my favorite person. It's his turn. I get to rip on some people. I get to talk about Call of Duty today, which is awesome, on a sports show. How I pulled that off, I'll never know. Well, I got a little help there, and that's from Louisville University. The Louisville University football team lost their game this past weekend, and boy, did the coach of those young men have something to say about why he lost that game. He said they got on the field today and duty called, but they didn't because they were too busy calling another duty. Someone asked him what he meant, and he said, if my team would have spent half as much time this week practicing and studying the playbook and studying film on our opponent as they did playing Call of Duty, we would have won that game. Got Him! Are you serious? You have that little control over your team that they spent more time playing Call of Duty than studying for your opponent. Like, did you show up for practice and no one was there and you said, that's weird. They must have all got caught in traffic on the walk over here from class. No, you have to know that they're playing Call of Duty all night. You need to know what these guys are doing. First of all, Call of Duty is amazing. The new game is perfect, but I'm still getting ready for my show. I got all my stuff prepared for you today. I got my script. I got all my notes. It didn't stop me. I had an essay due the other day. Turned it in. Got an A. Not a big deal. And I have Call of Duty. There are ways to play video games and get ready for what you do at the same time. Obviously, that is not understood at the University of Louisville. They played too much Call of Duty and lost a football game because of it. And the coach has no control over the team. So head coach, Got Him. University of Louisville, Got Him. Call of Duty got you because you're awesome and you brought a win to another team. So do what you do, Louisville. Keep losing because pretty soon, the next baseball video game's coming out and then your baseball team's going to lose because they're going to be playing that too much. Call of Duty rules. Louisville sucks. Got Him. But I'm not done with Got Him. I got two today. Hey, Joe Pa, Got Him. You are so gone. Not only are you gone from Penn State like you should be because you let what happened happen, but they just ripped your name off of the faceplate on the Big Ten Championship trophy. They said, you know what? You used to win the Big Ten Championship and got the Joe Paterno trophy. Yeah, right. Gone. No one wants to win nothing with your name on it, Joe Paterno. You are a bad person. And that was shown when they ripped your name off the Big Ten Championship trophy. So, Got Him, Joe Paterno. And you know what? It must be getting to the end of the show because it looks like it's time to rep the Bay. DJ T-Baby just walked in, and that means it's time to rep it. But we're going to take a break first. We're going to get ready, and then we're going to come back, rep the Bay. So just remember Got Him today, folks. Call of Duty won a college football game, and Joe Paterno lost everything. That's basically what you need to take away from today. I'll be back after the break, and we'll rep the Bay.
State of Mississippi, Papa was a copper and a mama was a hippie. In Alabama, she was swinging a hammer. Price you gotta pay when you break the panorama. She never knew that there was anything more than gold. What in the world does your company take me for? Black bandana, sweet Louisiana, robbing on a bank in the state of Indiana. She's a runner, rebel and a stunner, on the merry way saying, baby, what you gonna? Looking down the barrel of a hot metal 45, just another way to survive. California, rest in peace. Simultaneous release. California, Julia.
Final segment, and that can only mean one thing. That can only mean that it's time to rep the Bay.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is DJ P-Yob, and I bleed red and gold for my boy DJ B. Rep the Bay.
What's up, everybody? This is DJ T-Baby. The Golden State Warriors are my team. Klay Thompson, Monte Ellis, Steph Curry. Stay tuned for the season.
You heard it right, folks. It's time to rep the Bay. Now, last week, we only had P-Ob on because T-Baby had things to attend to. So this week, I requested just T-Baby. Yeah. And I got just T-Baby. T-Baby, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. It's good to be here. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic.
It's good.
Great show so far. And it's just a great show leading into a great show after me, which is What Are You Talking About with DJ P-Ob and DJ T-Baby. Now, P-Ob might walk into the middle of this interview. And we'll just throw him on the mic. He's always ready to go.
Yeah, he's good to go.
But T-Baby, can you take a wild guess at what I want to talk about?
I'm thinking maybe a little Niner football. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, baby, do I want to talk about Jim Harbaugh and some Niner football. How big was that win this weekend?
There was not only a big win, what a game, too. One of the best games I've seen in years. And to beat the Giants, a totally legitimate foe, to beat the Giants, now record stands, was it 8-1, 9-1?
8-1,
best record NFC. Wow, great win.
Well, second best.
Packers. Okay, yeah.
Who we'll be seeing at some point.
Yeah.
No, I didn't say that. I don't want to jinx it. But first question: how epic was that play by Vernon Davis to score that touchdown?
That was pretty remarkable.
When he jumped,
when he slowed down, I was wondering what he was going to do. I thought he was going to just lower the shoulder. It was kind of like, it was awkward, but like beautiful. You know, and it was weird. It didn't look great, but it got the job done.
No, when I first saw it, I thought he was like 30 feet in the air.
Yeah.
It was so funny. And I got so pumped up after that. And let's just go through the game right now.
Yeah.
Frank Gore, 6 rushes for 0 yards. And then you did have Hunter, 6 for 40 and a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
But we had about 70 yards rushing. And rushing attacks usually are strength.
Right.
Did Alex Smith legitimately win a football game on his own?
I think he did.
And oh, my goodness.
Honestly, I hate to say it because much like the majority of people, I have not liked Smith for years. I'm not quick to give him credit. he played a good game. And obviously, if you look at the stats, you see one touchdown, one pick. Not great. The pick was a gimme again. What he dropped.
Yeah, that was awful. I don't even count the pick.
Yeah, so Smith really played well. And then it just came out gunning with quick at throwing attacks. I love the play calling.
Oh, Smith had some lasers over the middle of the field, too. I was surprised.
He looked stronger than ever before. And maybe Harbaugh saying that Smith is an elite quarterback really got into Smith's head, and he's going to start playing at this level
now. Yeah, Smith was cooking that defense. It was great to see.
So Smith was 19 for 30 for 242 yards, a touchdown, and a pick that we won't count because it hit Ginn Jr. in the hands and the face mask.
Yeah,
what else do you have to do? And then I went over the rushing stats, and then Delaney Walker led the team in catches and yards again, 6 for 69. Mm-hmm. Braylon Edwards chipped in 3 for 47. Vernon Davis, 3 for 40 in that epic touchdown. Ted Ginn Jr. had 3 for 39, even though he missed an easy one. And Crabtree had one catch for 21 yards. So again, we see the ball going everywhere, and that's classic Jim Harbaugh offense.
It is, and it's nice to see because on paper, maybe you don't think the Niners have a ton of weapons, but they're all capable players. Even Ginn is a capable receiver. He had that drop, but he's capable. Vernon Davis, an elite tight end. Crabtree has all the potential in the world, and he also had that two-point conversion. Niners have some weapons, and Smith is finally utilizing all of them. It was great to see that.
Yeah, if the Niners play at that level, they're going to be scary.
Yeah.
And if Navarro Bowman keeps playing at this level, our defense is going to be scary.
Yeah.
He led the team with 11 tackles. Patrick Willis had 9 tackles and a sack. Mm-hmm. Dante Whitner had 7 tackles. Justin Smith had 5 tackles in the big bat down at the end. But none of these matter because none of them are Carlos Rogers. And his 2 interceptions, and he had 5 tackles.
Yeah.
He's been huge. Definitely our best signing. What do you think about Carlos Rogers right now?
Rogers is just playing out of his mind. Because I know in that one, they kind of fooled him on that one play where I think it was Cruz who dropped it. I think it was the same player, at least a similar play. And Rogers just read it and picked it off. He's playing great because he was a high pick when he was drafted, but he never really lived up to that potential in Washington. But with the Niners, he's putting it together. I don't know if it's the system. I don't know if he likes the guys he's playing with. I think it's a combination of all the above.
Yeah, it could be. Vic Fangio's system is huge. Mm-hmm. It's really working magic. The pass rush is really good. Brooks and Alden Smith are really getting after it. So is Harrelson. But are you thinking extending Carlos Rogers right now?
I'm thinking so. Rogers is playing great. Whole defense playing great. I love seeing Willis get that sack.
Oh, yeah. That was awesome.
Because you're going to block Bowman or Willis. One's going to get blocked. The other guy's going to get the sack.
Yeah, Willis only had 9 tackles, but we saw him make a lot for a loss, chasing backs down in the backfield.
Yeah.
He's still Matt Maiocco on Comcast is saying that Willis is making a strong case for defensive player of the year,
which is interesting because statistically he's a bit down, but
he's not even leading the team in tackles.
Right, in terms of importance, he's just as important ever. And after the game, he was interviewed. I think that's the first time I've heard him speak. Willis, he's kind of under the radar superstar.
That's a good point. Now back to Carlos Rogers, would you give him a 2 to 3 year extension right now?
I might wait till the end of the season, just so you don't want to have that distraction midseason. But with the way he's playing right now, if he keeps this up, why not?
Yeah, absolutely. I would be in favor of a 2 to 3 year extension, but I want him as a number 2 cornerback.
Yeah.
I still want them to bring in a number 1 because then our pass defense is crazy. Yeah. Carlos Rogers, your number 2. And I love Culliver. I think Culliver's going to be really good, especially in a nickelback role right now, which is why they're starting Brown.
Right.
And I'm not crazy about starting Terrell Brown.
Yeah. And it's nice to see their secondary improve because for years it was just decimated, just getting torched. But this year it's holding up a little bit.
And they have that safety rotation, which is really working nicely.
Yeah.
And that Smith, Whitner, Goldson, and Williams is barely even playing.
Yeah.
Because Goldson and Whitner are doing work. Goldson is all over the field.
Some big hitters.
And Goldson almost had that pick. Did you see that one along the sidelines? Just that foot was just out of bounds, but he's a ball hawk and he's been at it all the time. So now I'm a little scared for this weekend though. Arizona Cardinals, division team that know us well. They don't know Jim Harbaugh and Vic Fangio well, but they know Niners personnel well. Could this be kind of a letdown game coming off the Giants win?
I'm not going to go as far as saying the Cardinals are going to win it, but I'm definitely going to say it's a trap game. It's you see the Ravens beat the Steelers, then this past week they lose to the Seahawks. It's kind of one of those games. You see that a lot in the NFL where a team beats an elite, legitimate opponent, and then they play a far lesser team, and they kind of play to their level. So I'm worried the Niners might play at the Cardinals' level, and they could get upset in that way.
The other thing that scares me a little bit is it looks like it's going to be Skelton and not Cole.
Yeah.
And Skelton's more of a deep threat, where Cole's more of a dump down.
Mm-hmm.
And we're more susceptible to deep threats and blown coverages than we are dump downs because of our linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
So this could be kind of a tricky game. I would still take the Niners.
Yeah.
I know a couple weeks ago we went through the schedule, and we gave the Giants a win at the Niners.
I was shocked.
And
I'm pretty sure you did. I'm not sure if Piob did too. Gave the Cardinals this win
I
too.
I might have.
Because you got your premise was we're not going to sweep division.
Yeah.
Do you think we'll sweep the division now?
I mean, I've been so wrong on all my Niners. I thought they'd lose to the Lions, the Bucks.
Which is valid.
Yeah, I just feel like the Niners can't keep winning, but they do. They beat the Giants. The Giants are a great team. Yeah. I just feel like they can't keep. They're not, are they going to be 15-1, 14-2? That's hard to believe, the Niners at that record.
So we beat Giants, Bucks, Lions, Bengals, who are 6-3.
Yeah, Bengals are solid this year.
So
the Browns are the only one I gave them. I gave them the Browns.
Yeah, I don't see why we couldn't sweep this division.
Yeah.
Even though the Seahawks just beat the Ravens, which, by the way, makes me think, why can't we beat the Ravens?
Exactly.
Now?
You never know what you're going to get with Baltimore. They could kill you. They could not show up.
Well, 52 Flacco passes to 5 Rice rushes. If they with do Ray that, Rice. Which they could do against us, because they might say, you know what, forget running against the Niners. So you never know. But the Niners are on top of the world right now, basically. Because, you know what, I'll say they're on top of the world because the Packers are on a different planet.
Yeah.
So they don't count.
Yeah, they're not a team right now, the Packers.
My dad letting us know right now that Willis is getting a lot of run on ESPN, and he's starting to get national pub.
Good to see. Good
which
to
is
hear.
Absolutely right. And it's great because I think he's the best doing it right now.
Yeah. Willis is amazing. Maybe one of the best players in the league. I always thought he's one of the best NFL players, Willis.
No, absolutely. No one will argue that. T-Baby, why don't you let everybody know what's about to come on
everybody
next?
In a couple minutes. It's going to be another episode of What Are You Talking About? You're stuck with just me for now. P.I. might be in the studio, but stay tuned.
You heard it, folks. That's going to be it for Rep the Bay, and that's going to be it for the Sports Report. I'm Brian Sanchez saying goodnight. This has been a radio.dominican.edu production. You stay classy, San Rafael.
Getting born in the state of Mississippi. Papa was a copper and a mama was a hippie. In Alabama.